Well, hi, ladies. So, first of all, I just want to say thank you to both of you being here. I think it's kind of crazy that I'm starting my own podcast, but I'm excited about it and I'm a little anxious. So I want you to introduce yourselves and tell about just a little bit about your background and being apostolic.
Well, I am Brooke Buchanan. I was born and raised in the Apostolic Church. My grandfather was the pastor of my original church for 42 years, probably. And then my uncle became pastor, and I went to that church about, when I turned about 17 was when I really started developing a relationship for myself. Of course, you go to church for your mom and dad for about a few years. And then when I was 17, I really decided that I wanted to do something that made an impact. I went on a missions trip to Japan, and then I went on a missions trip to South Africa. And I ended up meeting my husband, we both currently go to Bethel United Apostolic Church. Moved here about 2 years ago, which was a little bit of awakening after going to the same church for 21 years. But we are now youth pastors here at Bethel, which we are so blessed and honored and humble for this. We're thankful for this opportunity to really just invest in these young people, and we just see an amazing revival coming. So thankful for that.
Sister Madeline.
All right. My name is Madeline Dancy. I did not grow up in the church. I actually converted almost 4 years ago from a Baptist church. The church that I grew up in was the church I literally grew up in from birth until the time that I felt God pulling me away. And I say that because I was there my whole life. I was involved in ministry and in the inner workings of the church, and something just was telling me that there was more. I didn't know what more there was, but I just knew that whatever I had gotten at my current church was all that they could give me, and I needed to go somewhere else to get whatever else God had for me. And so during that time, I was working at a Methodist hospital, and one of my coworkers who went to Bethel at the time started kind of working on me, and I was out of a church home for about a year. And over a span of a year, he just worked on me. He told me about the great things at Bethel, and just he was feeding a curiosity that I had, and I didn't really know that it was going to lead me to where I am now. And eventually I was like, okay, I'm going to come visit. And when I walked into Bethel, it was just unreal. The love that I felt and the sense of belonging that I felt, I just knew that that's where God had called me to. And it wasn't but a few Sundays after I came, I got the Holy Ghost. And then about a month later, I got baptized. And here I am now. I'm the promotions department leader, and I'm over social media and photography and so many other things in the church. And it's a blessing beyond measure, because I went from not knowing just where I belonged or where God wanted me to having so many opportunities just fall in my lap, and just being able to, coming from a family that isn't in church, I was blessed by so many more sets of parents than I could have ever asked for. So many more siblings and friends and family than I thought I could ever have. And converting was the best choice that I had ever made. And it was an easy decision. I won't say it's easy for everyone, but I tell people all the time, for me personally, I think I was meant to be apostolic, because the standards came easy, the doctrine came easy, it all came easy, because it's what I already felt was a part of me. So it was just easy to just do what I was called to do. Exactly. And God definitely placed the right people at the right time in my life to help guide my path to where I needed to be. And it's just, if you're seeking that, if you're seeking something, God is definitely going to allow you to find it, as long as you're open and willing to be open to those opportunities that he presents you. So
a little bit about me, I kind of explained this on my last episode, but I am the pastor's daughter at Bethel United Apostolic Church. I grew up in the faith, in the apostolic faith. When we lived in Arkansas up until I was about 11 years old. And then my dad was offered to pastor in Olive Branch, Mississippi. So we moved here. And for a long time, I didn't know how to be a pastor's daughter. That's kind of like something you learn through the years. But yeah, I just kind of came to church because my parents came to church, and I, you know, just kind of did what they did. And then when I was 12, I got put on the praise team. Being put on the praise team very young taught me worship. It taught me different things that other 12-year-olds probably didn't learn at that age. And then when I turned about 15 or 16, that's really the age that I got it for myself. And from that day, I have not walked away from it. I've stuck to it, and I think that's important to know. I believe parents should instill it into their children. That's a huge deal, and there's this whole argument about, you know, letting the kids choose for themselves. Well, you can't do that these days, honestly.
I'm going to be very vague here. You know, if you let your child choose for their, you don't want to let your child choose to be a drug abuser. You don't want to let your child choose to be a murderer. You know, you want to instill good moral ideals in them. You know, if your child chooses that in the future, when you're not, you know, when you have no more, you know, when you've done all you can, that's nothing you can help. But when it comes to, you know, trying to instill something in them, I don't see the logic of, well, I just want to let them choose if they want to go to church. Well, I mean, you also need to say, okay, well, I'm not going to, you know, I'll let them choose if they want to go to school every day. I'll let them choose if they want to do this or that. You know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You have to kind of have that middle ground of saying, okay, as long as you're under my roof, and this was how my parents were, as long as you're under my roof, you know, we always say we were drugged as kids. We were drugged to the church. We were drugged out of church. We were drugged to the youth functions. If there was a yard sale at 5 o'clock in the morning, me and my brother were there. If there was a church service that lasted until 2 o'clock in the morning, me and my brother were sitting on the pew, you know? So it's kind of something that our parents instilled in us and taught us to make us the people we are today.
Yeah, it's important to know that parents, you know, you have to instill that in your child. But as the Word of God says, as they get older, they're not going to stray from it. And that's the most important thing. And you were talking about having morals. Morals come from the Bible. I mean, that's where they come from. And, you know, that's just something that I've had a lot of questions on. Like, well, how do you know that you need to raise your child in this truth? It's because I've read the Word of God. I've gotten an understanding from God, not just my own understanding. You don't need to lean on your own understanding, but He reveals things to me through His Word, and it's just very important. And I think it's a true testimony to live in this truth for your entire life, to be apostolic your entire life. That's an amazing testimony. Not a lot of people talk about it because, you know, you're always saying, well, they came from this and they're here. And I think every testimony is beautiful, but I just think it's also beautiful that, you know, like me and Sister Brooke, we lived in it our entire life. That's awesome. But also, like I said before, it's an amazing testimony to find it later in life. My Papaw Cook, my dad's dad, he didn't get it until he was at the age of 40. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. But he got it then, and he's lived it every day since. He has not put the Bible down. He is like, you know, lived it wholeheartedly. And I just think that goes to show that you're never too late to come to God. And I think that's important to know, that no matter how far you've gone, no matter where you think you might be, that it's, you know, God can never forgive you. He can and He will. And He's just waiting on you. But now I want Sister Madeline to talk a little bit about what it's like going from being Baptist to apostolic.
Well, honestly, it's very different. When I first came to Bethel, a lot of the biblical understanding of the Bible and just the breakdown was very different, because honestly, at church, they don't really talk about revelations. They just don't. they might talk about the basis of tithing and why you tithe, because for money purposes and such, but as far as going into the book of Acts, going into the book of John, and just doing an in-depth understanding of just different parables, different stories from the Bibles, things like that, it wasn't too much of that all the time. It was a lot of how can I take a modern day story sometimes and make it fit to what's going on in your life. It was a lot of feel good preaching, and I'm not saying that that's not a, it's not a bad thing, but there, the aspect of truth was missing. Because I appreciate and love and respect that our pastor fully stands on the Bible and behind the Bible, and that's what he's preaching. He's going to tell you the truth. He's going to tell you how you need to get to, how you need to truly be saved. It's no sugarcoating it. And it's sometimes in other denominations, I feel like they skip the truth because they just want people to feel good. But I'm not looking for someone to make me feel good. I need someone that's going to help me live the right kind of life that will actually get me to salvation. And that's, I think that's the biggest difference, is that the understanding that we're given here in an apostolic church is true, genuine understanding. Because everything we're taught, pastor will say for yourself, you can get your Bible and he can explain it from your Bible, and it's going to be the same from your Bible, from his Bible, from anyone's Bible. It's not going to change. And what he preaches from that platform does not change. It's consistent across the board, but it's also to the point of they give that understanding. If you have a question, he wants you to ask. And that's also another thing that I love, is the fact that you can come with questions. Sometimes people feel like they can't approach their pastor because it's pastor. It's, oh no, like it's they put their pastors on a platform or pedestal almost. And in this sense, pastor is tangible. He's a person that you can call with your problems and you can ask for a better understanding, and he's going to explain it in a way that makes sense. And it's not just on a Sunday night. It's not just on a Wednesday night. It's an every night kind of thing. And it's not just for show. He's consistent with it. And honestly, just from the teachings of, just the basic teachings of doctrine and the explanation behind it, what he puts forth, he backs up with. He can pull out books. He can pull out other people's sermons. And he can give you information explaining why it is that way. You can go to another church and honestly, they might honestly be using some kind of story from the media, some kind of story from someone they know or something they've seen on TV. They're not necessarily pulling something from the Bible to help their congregation relate to and better understand. And I think that's where they miss a lot of points for what they need to be doing with their congregation.
It's the big difference between them.
Big difference.
And one thing I will say, and I know Sister Sheree understands, is living in a pastor's family, being in ministry, you live with glass walls. Like, the everything you do is going to be pinpointed, and you almost, it's not a relationship anymore. It gets to the point where it's a necessity. Like, you're in the, I don't mean to, like, you know, put it to this, but it's almost like you're in the royal family. Everything you say and do will be held and used against you. And, you know, anything that you do, somebody's going to point it out. Anything that you say wrong, somebody's going to point it out. And it becomes like a job. It's no longer, you know, out of necessity of relationship. And that's something that I had to understand, was I was so busy doing the work and holding up the viewpoint and letting everybody see my good stuff and letting everybody see, I didn't have a relationship with God. And I was doing all the works and I wasn't, you know, developing my personal relationship. And, you know, one night I was kind of like studying the word, like trying to just get some studying in, and I came across Matthew 7:21-22:23, and it scared the living daylights out of me, because it said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And it kind of came to the realization of, oh my gosh, I need a relationship. I'm doing all these works and they could be for nothing. I could be the best person on the planet and it could be for nothing. You know, it's so important to just develop a relationship, whether you're 2 days into it or 20 years into it. Developing your own personal relationship over the works that you're doing is most important, because it's like, I'm married, and if we, you know, take pictures and, you know, show ourselves in public, but I never text my husband, or I never talk to him, or I never call him, or we never have any type of intimacy, we never do anything together, what kind of relationship is that?
Right.
It's just a poster board at that point. And our relationship with God can become almost like a poster board relationship. Post about it on Facebook, post Bible verses. We, you know, make Christian TikToks. We do all that, but we have no depth in our relationship with God.
Right. Yeah, that's when I was put on the praise team at 12. You know, from 12 to 15, it wasn't that I wasn't living for God. I mean, I was, but it was... I had to come to that realization myself that, you know, I'm doing all these works, but am I really gonna go to heaven?
Right.
You know, and that, I mean, that's what we're all working towards, right? You know, every day. And I think as a pastor's daughter, I get so busy with doing stuff in the church. I'm choir director, I'm on the praise team, I do youth staff stuff, Kids Quest stuff, and don't get me wrong, I love being busy in the church. I think that it keeps me, like, you know, that's what keeps me going, is my church family. But I've gotten where I need to, you know, I've gone days without talking to God, and it's like, he's probably like, hello, I'm here, talk to me. So it's like, you know, I've caught myself like, okay, maybe I need to take a few days and fast and pray and not focus on choir. Just because through fasting, through prayer, he will bring you to where you need to be. So he will honor the time that you've had with him. So he'll honor choir, because I'm over choir. I put my time and effort into it. That's a hard lesson to learn, because it's hard to say that I'm wrong. You know what I mean? For anyone, it's hard for anyone to say, okay, I'm in the wrong. So that's a hard lesson for me personally. And as a pastor's daughter, I do feel like we live in a glass house. Mm-hmm. It's constant. And it's not a bad life. It's not something that I don't want to be in, that I don't want to live. But it's having other people understand that is hard, because, you know, sometimes, you know, my family could be going through something. You know, we'll tell our church, but we still get, you know, people want to come to us with their problems, and that's fine. We're the pastor's family. We're going to take care of our family. That's our church family. And then sometimes it's like, I just want to be human and just be like, you know what? No, it's my turn. I'm struggling. This is my turn to struggle. But God reminds me in my prayer time that, you know, I wasn't fit to just have my own problems. You know, I'm the pastor's daughter. I'm gonna take on more than others. Not that my life is harder than anyone else's. That's not what I'm saying. I know that everyone's life is hard, but it's a struggle sometimes. But I just, fasting and prayer, bring it back to that, and God sets me straight at that point. Like, okay, this is where you need to be. You know, don't worry about yourself so much. So
I definitely agree with that, after being in church, realizing that. But, and I will speak on from coming into this, like, seeing everyone else being used, seeing works that I didn't fully understand happening. When I will never forget, I got into church, and then I have this great group of friends, and I'm just like, I'm seeing them being used in all these different ways, and I'm still just sitting on a pew. And that's when I had to start asking God, okay, God, I want to do something for you. I don't know what it is, but I want to do something. And I started praying about it. And that's when I understood. I finally realized, I don't think I really know how to pray. I don't think I know how to fast. I don't think I know how to seek God. And I started asking those questions. I started asking my friends, and just asking the elders, and just reading and just studying the word and praying. And that's when God started giving me an understanding, and I started seeing where he wanted to use me in the church. And then it gets to the point where I'm like, I felt like I really went from nothing to something because I came in and I felt like I had nothing. I felt as if I was very much lost. When I came to church, it was a very rough time in my life. And the pain that I brought with me was something that took a while to even get over once I got into church. But because I came in and I just was seeking God and all of that, it literally just lined one thing after another. But I had to, it for coming from someone who essentially had been in quote unquote church their whole life, realizing that you don't really know how to pray. You don't really know how to study the Bible. You don't really know what the Bible's about. It was a little bit of a shock to me. And it put things into perspective to where it's like, there's so much more that I can become. It's mm-hmm. There's so much more for me to understand, for me to learn and do. And I just kind of threw myself into that. And then but I'm not going to lie, once I started getting involved, it kind of got back to where I started becoming stagnant in my relationship with God. And that's when I had to realize, okay, I need to add something else. I need to be seeking something else, because God's always going to want more for you. He's never going to want you to ever just be content where you are. He's always calling you for more. Right. And so I have to always remind myself, when I start feeling as if I'm stagnant, that's when I really need to seek God, because sometimes when you're feeling the most alone, that's when he's really trying to push you to that next level, get you out your comfort zone. And so I definitely can relate from like feeling
right
overwhelmed yeah. with everything, and then it's just like, then you get comfortable, and then God's like not yes. quite, and calls you to do something different.
Yes. Like for me, it's the loneliness that gets me. So if you didn't know, I'm single. I'm a young, single, apostolic woman. Most of my friends are married. Some of them are not. Sister Madeline, she's
yep,
single.
Yep, I'm single. I feel the pain.
And it's not just about, like, having a boyfriend or, you know, whatever. To me, it's like your ministry can go so far with a husband. And that's something I talked about on my blog this week was, you know, I was going through a time where I felt lost. Just in my relationship with God, I felt like I'm not going anywhere. I'm stuck because all my friends are married. They're all graduating college. I'm here, still going to college. I have not met anyone yet. And we had a question and answer panel at our encounter service. And I just raised my hand, and not confidently at all, raised my hand and said, I have a question. And I just said, as a young woman who works in the church, I feel like I can't go anywhere. I feel like my ministry, I can't even find my ministry, because my whole life I thought, you're either preacher's wife, pastor's wife, youth pastor's wife. Not that I don't believe women can do stuff. I believe wholeheartedly women can do stuff in God. Like, you know, I'm not a feminist, but I do believe women can do stuff. But I raised my hand, just asked my simple question, and the minister's wife picked up the microphone and said, first of all, you need to get your thought process correct, because it's not when God sends you a husband, it's if, because that's a big if. God may not see it in your future. And that's scary. That has been scary to me my whole life, right? You know, that's what Christian women look for. That's what apostolic young women look for. And it was kind of like a shocker that she had said that to me. But once I got over that, she just said, your future in God, your ministry in God, is not dependent on some future version of you being someone's wife. Right. You know, you work on it every day. And so as a pastor's daughter, it gets lonely because, you know, it's not that I'm not surrounded with people. I am, and I have people in my life. But to have an understanding of what, you know, what my family goes through, it's hard for people to understand. And then on top of that, being single and wanting to mm-hmm. to date, wanting to, you know,
and your person.
Right, to have my person. It's hard, but it just brings me right back around to building on my relationship with God, because I mean, I can't go anywhere unless he takes me, so.
And I will say I'm the only one married in this conversation. But I was there before I met my now spouse. I had dated, had failed relationships, just, you know, just dealing with all of these not God's wills, you know. And I got to the point, I was like, I had broken up with one of my, all right, I'm tired of dating, tired of these people. But I got to the point, I was like, okay, God, listen. I was like, I'm the full package, okay? Like, I was getting so mad. I was like, I can sing. I can play piano. I have a job. I, you know, I was like, I have a great family. Yes. What is wrong with me? You know, and it's frustrating to you because you're like, okay, what am I doing wrong? Am I not wearing the right clothes? Am I doing my hair weird? Like, and you just, but God kind of brought me back and was like, what about me? Mm-hmm. You know, and it was like, yeah, you're right, you know, but yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's like, okay, develop your relationship with me, mm-hmm. because you never know that if me and John would have gotten married any sooner or any later, we would have not been in the will of God.
Right.
Because literally everything happened just perfectly right in his timing, in God's timing. And, you know, it wasn't easy. The devil attacked really hard on us before, even before we got married, the devil attacked. But it was because we were in so in God's will. But it took me stepping back and saying, okay, let me develop my relationship with you. I'm not going to talk to anybody. I'm not going to try to date. I'm just going to be by myself. And all of a sudden, he just popped up into my life.
That's where it gets me.
He just popped up like, oh, okay.
You know, everyone says he'll come when you're not searching for it. But then people will say, but you're not searching hard enough. It's like,
yes.
Yeah, but you just told me.
That's so frustrating.
It's like, yeah, that's very frustrating.
The thing is, I was not actively, like, messaging people. Now, I was like, if a guy messaged me, I would be open to messaging back.
Right.
But it would never be like a, you know, it'd never go anywhere. Because I just wouldn't be, you know, I would realize very quickly it just wasn't worth investing my time into. But, like, I understand that. People are so frustrating because they'll be like, oh, well, you're not trying hard enough. But right. You don't need to try because you're not late.
Yes.
If you do. And I'll be like, what are you talking about?
But in reality, they're trying to help. They just don't know what to say because, let me just say, a lot of women in our church who are married met their spouses at young ages, young ages. I mean, I'm talking, like, they didn't get married, but, like, 12 and 13 and 14. Nope. My parents met at 18 or 19.
Yeah, my parents met at like 19 or
right.
old or something.
So, I mean, and I'm 23. I still live with my parents. I mean, I'm not ashamed to say it. And, you know, I'm still in college. Hopefully, I'll be a teacher soon. But, yeah, it's a different time. So, people try to give advice, but they don't really know what advice to give. Mm-hmm. And I kind of get caught up in, like, you know, I'll talk to a guy for a while. It won't really go anywhere. And I'm kind of bummed about it because I'll end up stopping the conversation because I'm like, okay, this is going nowhere.
But, and, you know, people don't understand, like, when you are truly seeking God's will for your life and relationships, they're just like, you're just being too high maintenance. You're just doing too much. You're just, you know, you're not
right.
And it's like, no, it's not that I'm being high. I, you know what? I am being high maintenance. I want exactly what God wants for my life. I'm not going to sit here and settle. I had so many opportunities to settle. I had plenty of opportunities. I could have been married at 19 probably if I wanted to. But I didn't want to settle.
Right.
I refused to settle because I was like, no, God wants more for me than this. And I'm so glad that I didn't because God put me exactly where I was supposed to be. Not in my time frame, but in his time frame, he put me where he wanted me to be.
And I think about, like, you think about the person you are now and me being single as well. So I look at, okay, if I would have met somebody as soon as I got into church, I was not mentally or emotionally ready to be able to have a relationship with somebody, let alone get into a spiritual connection with someone else, a relationship with someone else, all that. Wasn't ready for it. And now I've gotten to the point where, coming from a home where I'm it's just me in the home being the spiritual person. So yes, I am seeking my future spiritual leader of my home because I did not grow up with that. Did not grow up with a strong father figure. And I fully uphold the idea of the man being the head of the household. So of course, that's a standard that I'm not falling short on because that's what I know that I did not have. And I know that God, that's how God intended a family to be. And so I do have my standards. And right now I'm working on me because I want, God's going to shape me into the one day to the wife that he wants me to be for a man. And so for me to be able to do that, I have to work on myself. Right. I have to work on the areas that I'm not that strong in. And then as I'm seeking God eventually on that path, I'm praying that I'll run into the man that God wants me to be with. But it's always going to be in his timing. Of course, yeah, it's no fun waiting. Yeah. It's hard being patient. But honestly, I can say that I'm happy that I did not get in a relationship with anyone up to this point because I wasn't ready. I didn't know myself. And at a point, you're still figuring out who you are, but I really did not know who I was in God. And that's the biggest thing that you have to figure out, because if you don't have a relationship with God before you get in a relationship, how do you expect that relationship to bloom and blossom once you bring another person into
right.
it? And I think a lot of young people miss that because they just want to be in a relationship for the sake of being in a relationship.
Right.
Yeah. And then they think everything is going to be fine and dandy when they get married, but yeah. you haven't established anything to build that actual relationship on.
Right.
So
spoiler alert, you're still figuring it out when you're married. Trust me. If I got married off of butterflies, I don't know where I'd be in this situation
right.
because yeah. I mean, we're almost 2 years. So I know a lot of people are like, oh, you're still babies. But you know, Justin, a year and a half, I've learned so much about myself being in a relationship and being married. And a lot of young people don't understand. They're like, ooh, love Cinderella. But, you know, she didn't know Prince Charming's quirks. You know, she met him. She just met him and was like, oh, my slipper fit. It's perfect. It's not a Cinderella story. As much as you want it to be, it's not a Cinderella story.
Right.
And the difference between the Disney movie and real life is you have to involve God
yeah.
in our relationships
yes.
and development and God developing you, developing your spouse. Because I look back at pictures and I was like, John would have hated me then because I was not the same person that I am right now. And I know, like, I look back and John looks back and he's like, yeah, I was not a good person. You know, he'll look at pictures and we're like, you know, that's why it reminds you, though. You're like, wow. God's
yeah.
timing is absolutely perfect.
Yes. And also want to say to all the young married people out there, or just generally married people, ever how long you've been married, I have a lot of young married friends, mm-hmm. and, you know, they'll come to me, you know, just girl talking about, like, oh, he did this or he did that. And, you know, I just want to say to them sometimes, just count your blessings.
Yep, at least you got a husband.
Just understand that you are so incredibly lucky
yep.
to be where you are. I'm not bashing anything or anyone. You have your fights. You're humans.
Absolutely.
I understand that. But it's like, at the end of the day, just understand how extremely blessed you are to be there. Because it's like, do you know how much I would give to be at your where you're at in life right now?
Yep.
You know, I would give everything just to be, you know, to be with my person, to be figuring out life with my person, even though it's difficult, even though you have fights and there's hard times. It's like, I would give anything.
You're not alone.
Right.
You have your person.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like the same situation of like, people complaining about their kids, and then you have a person, you know, sitting and complain, you know, like they're dealing with infertility,
right?
You know, it's kind of like you have to, if you look for the negative in your situation, I was telling Madeline this the other day, soon enough, if you let God's blessings become a burden to you, he'll take them away.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why am I going to bless you when you just complain about it all day long?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I gave you, like, let's say God gives you a dog. you know, I'm trying to think of a random thing. But let's say he gives you a dog, and all you do is complain about how much it barks. But you sat there, you prayed for this dog, mm-hmm. you wanted it, you bought food for it, you bought food for it. You did everything in your power to get this dog. I mean, you were praying so hard. You fasted for 3 days, and you finally got your dog. And then you're just like, it just barks too much. I'm just tired of this dog. It barks too much. You find the negative.
Right.
Well, God's going to be like, all right, I ain't giving you nothing else.
I mean,
you
know, the negative is always there. So yes. If you want to look at it that way, and please understand, I'm not saying that you're being negative.
Yeah.
You can have feelings. Like, absolutely. You know, your husband can get on your nerves, and me as a friend to you, you can come to me and be like, oh, he's really getting on my nerves today. But eventually come to an understanding that I wish I was complaining about a husband. Like, I don't have one. You know yeah. what I mean?
Well, and it also kind of like, you know, speaking to you, if I just tell you all the bad stuff about marriage, it's, you're kind of like, oh, my goodness.
Do I really want to do that?
I don't that's, know if I
yes,
do
that's
this.
Another thing.
You know?
And I can't understand the dynamic between a mm-hmm. fighting married couple, because mm-hmm. I'm not there. I don't even, you know. I fight with my sisters. Like, it's completely different, yeah. you know? So it's just like a different, you know, I don't mind people coming to me. Like, of course yeah. I'm a friend. So, you know, sometimes I have to complain about stuff, and it's life. Life gets to you sometimes, and you can, but then at the end of the day, you need to be like, okay, well, at least I have it. At least I'm there. You know, at least I'm not 24 years old still searching for my husband, or
28
years old, you know. Well, it's
you have these near, like when John got appendicitis, I know it's the lamest thing that I was so like petrified over, but just like watching,
not the word, you were a mess.
Yes.
you
but
could not function.
We went back to the room, and I watched them wheel him in there. And I'm telling you, when I thought of every single fight I had with him, I was like, those were the dumbest things to ever fight with him. Because you just, I know it wasn't like a life-threatening surgery. Like, he was just getting his appendix out. It was very simple. But I was just,
it can be life-threatening.
I was just a blubbering mess. I was all over the place. I just like melted sitting there in the prep room. I just melted. I was like, what am I going to do? What if I lose him? But you don't think about those situations when you're fighting. You're just
right.
thinking, like, and you're talking to other people about your fights. You know, one thing that, you know, pastor spoke to us, and we've had, you know, other married couples talk to us about, is keeping the fights at home, you
right.
know, chilling out and just keeping everything in a box, in your box
some
at home.
Things need to be kept between
yeah.
you and your spouse.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So
everybody
it's
doesn't need to know your business.
I think it's just people at different stages in life that, you know, you can't really understand. Like, Sister Brooke, you're the first person I know that kind of understands our feelings of wanting to be married at this age, because you were a little bit older when you met mm-hmm. Brother John. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just having a different person, you know, understanding. So I'm not saying you can't lean on your friends and say, okay, I need you to understand this. Of course, I get that. But and I'm saying this to single, married, whatever, just count your blessings at the end of the day and thank God for them, because you might not have them, you know what I mean? But I think this has been an incredible talk with you ladies. Thank you so much for coming on.